like a 45-second recap about the 1211 movement. For those of you guys who are new, we so thank God for the new guests tonight, man. The whole reason behind the 1211 movement is to meet new people and to encourage you and to see God do something great in your life. The 1211 movement's been up for about a year and a half, and all we were was a Bible study on the other side of the church over there. We met every week. We played videos. We watched we watched all kinds of things. We studied the Word of God. We argued. We cried. We fought. We studied. We just had a blast, man, and God really grew us up in the last year and a half. And last week was our first debut Friday night worship service, and it was off the chain. Come on. So everybody say night two. Tonight is the second night, man. And I'm so proud of everybody because the worship team just got formed like last week or the week before. So this is their first time being a team together. Brian Weaver comes out and blesses us so much with his worship leading, man. It was just incredible. So I just want to thank everybody for being such a blessing to the 1211 movement. Like we have reiterated a number of times in our videos and stuff like that, please fill out a card, man. We're not trying to stalk you, but we want to keep in touch with you. Yeah, I know how you feel about that, you know. How many of you guys know a fake phone number? You know, when people are like, hey, can you give your name and number? You're like, 612-389-7870. Don't do that to us, man. We're cool people. We won't stalk you, but we will let you know about what's going on. We will let you know. We barbecue. We love to eat. We go out. We hang out. We're trying to plan trips, and we want all you guys to be a part, and we want to make this a great fellowship in the Phoenix area. So please fill out a card and just hand it to anybody. You know, they'll figure it out. Is that cool? Hand it to anybody. Man, we have been having a blast, man. Last week, we kicked off a series called Refresh. Everybody say Refresh. Refresh. We kicked off this series called Refresh because I really felt like at the turn of the year, we needed a refreshing, man. You know, how many of y'all, be honest, how many of y'all just had a rough 2010? Rough. They're like, shh, dude, you don't even know. Can we have testimony service? Bro, I'm going to tell you. 2010 was rough for a lot of people, man, financially, rough for a lot of people in relationships. You know, we saw a lot of people hurt in 2010, but let me not discredit this. We saw a lot of God in 2010 also. We saw God do some great things, man. How many of y'all know that the test is only for a testimony, right? The test that you go through in life always turn into a testimony. So everything you go through is not just for you, but it's for somebody else you may come across. So you can tell them, man, I've gone through this, man, I've gone through hell and back, but the Bible says in Ephesians, but God. Everybody say, but God. But God, he always comes through and brings me out of that thing. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Last week, starting off our series called Refresh, I preached a sermon called Mind Hoarders. You guys were here for that. A lot of you guys were here for that last week. And we talked about how your mind gets so messed up with past junk. It gets clogged up and it gets messed up. We didn't show the video last week about hoarders, did we? The video, it was broken. But we had a little illustration about the show Hoarders. Anybody ever seen the show Hoarders? Yeah, let's not talk about it. I might get nauseous again. So anyway, but tonight I want to talk to you guys about something very, very important. And I think if we really, really grasp onto this, man, and if we really hold on to this, we're going to see immediate results in our life, immediate results. Because, see, the Word of God and our faith that we're living right now, it's not about do, do, do to get results. It's about believe, believe, believe and get results. That's why the Bible says be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. It's not stuff that we have to do to become better Christians. It's not stuff that we have to do to become better men or women in Jesus, but it's about what we believe. And oftentimes, a lot of your problems and a lot of your roadblocks have everything to do with what you think and what you believe. That's why that video was so powerful, because it told you what you're supposed to believe. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I am, present tense, I am a new creature. I am a new creature. And I think a lot of us want to say, man, one day, Pastor G, one day I'm going to have it all together, man. I'm going to be sweet. I'm going to be able to preach. I'm going to be able to, like, testify. I'm going to be able to, like, not cuss anymore. I'm going to be able to, like, all this kind of stuff. I'm going to be that one day. But look, no. The Bible, like we talked about last week, the Bible tells you what you are now. Now. I am a new creature. Old things, they're already gone. Behold, all things become new. Now, we still feel like we're walking in the old things because we don't believe that the stuff's gone. There's a devil in the light. T trying to mess up my sermon. That's what he's doing. I'm just messing with you, T. But old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Here, let's get into this tonight, guys. I'm just going to share with you a few minutes, and then we're going to eat hot dogs. Is that cool? Y'all can tell I'm hungry, you know? Have you ever, like, you forgotten to eat before church? I do it every Sunday. I forget to eat before church. We're up here singing. Like, halfway through it, I'm like, dude, I should have ate. I should at least got a sausage McMuffin or something, man. I'm hungry. But we're going to fellowship, and I really want you guys to stick around afterwards. I want y'all to meet new people, hang out, have a good time. We got excellent child care, so let the babies hang for a minute, and you all stick around and hang with us, all right? Check this out. I want to encourage you tonight. Watch this. You have right now in your life and in your possession, whether you see it or believe it or not, you have the favor of God. You have it. The favor of God is translated the grace of God. You have the favor and the grace of God, which is unmerited, which is you can't earn it, which is you can't do anything to get it. The Bible says that grace is a gift. Everybody say gift. So if I give you a gift, you know what I'm saying? You didn't necessarily do anything to deserve it. I just said, hey, I'm going to give you $20. I just want to bless you just because. See, God has given you a gift, those of you all who are in Jesus Christ. You have a gift now. You're not waiting on it. You have a gift, and that's the favor and the grace of God in your life. It's a free gift. You had nothing. All he just said, here, it's yours. And the reason why he gave it to you is not because of you. You ain't nobody. Come on, say, I ain't nobody. He gave it to you because you received Jesus, who is somebody, right? So once you receive Jesus Christ into your life, you automatically get this package. If you read in Ephesians 1, it talks about you were adopted, you were redeemed, you were blessed. You know, nothing can separate you from the love of God. You're brand new. Everything's old. All things are new. He gave you that gift. And he said, I want nothing in return. I just want you to know I love you so much. I love you so much that everything in your life is taken care of. It's yours. Here. How many of y'all would like a gift like that right here, like from somebody else, like another human? Mike, I would love for you to come and say, Pastor G, look, I just went and financed this new BMW. You know, it's probably going to set me back a few years, but I want you to have it. Throw me the keys. You know what I mean? A free gift. I did nothing to earn it, but you just wanted to give it to me. The reason why I'm telling you guys that tonight is because you need to know that God is your biggest cheerleader. God is your biggest cheerleader. He takes pleasure in your success. God gets excited when you do great things, man. He's all about it. He created you before the foundation of the world that you would do good works, that you would walk in him, the Bible says. So he's your biggest cheerleader, man. Fellas, you all know. Can we do some fella talking? Huh? Fellas know that when your girl tells you, man, you looking good. Come on. Or you know what I mean? Or you know what? Man, you know, you sang that song real good. Man, you fixed it. What do we do, fellas? We're like, yeah, you know, it's all good. You know what I mean? Like your boys can tell you, right? Your boys can be like, man, you know, man, great job, man. You you're rocking it. But when your girl tells you, oh, man, you know, you did a great job. You know, you're just like, okay, I can roll with that. Am I right? Well, there's no human cheerleader that's bigger. There's no human that can surpass the cheerleading that God's doing for you right now. What God's doing for you guys right now, now this stuff I'm telling you, you may not believe it, but the point is, I'm trying to get you to believe it because it's what the Bible says about you. That's all I'm doing, telling you what the Bible says right now about you. You're doing things for God. You're working hard for him. You're just trying to live your life according to the Lord. He's just like this. Great job, man. Keep doing more. Whatever you need, I'll supply it. Whatever you desire, I'll make it happen. You want to do my purpose? I'll make it happen for you. I'll open up doors that you never saw open. I'll let you meet people that you never thought you'd meet. I'll give you resources in your hand, money, material possessions, whatever it takes to further the purpose that I planted in you, you can have it because I'm your biggest cheerleader. If you guys know anything about business and businesses, a lot of businesses have investors. Investors say, hey, I'll put up this much money because I believe in what you're doing. You want to open up a car wash down on Bell Road? I think it's going to make some money. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give my money, I'm going to sacrifice and give you gifts so that I can get a return on my investment. So what God's doing in your life is he placed purpose in you. He placed destiny in you. He placed your future in you. He placed awesome gifts and talents in each and every one of you guys. He placed some amazing stuff on the inside of you. It's his investment, and he's your biggest cheerleader and investor. He says, you know what? Only return I want to see out of your life is my glory. I just want to see you say, dude, it's him, not me. All he wants to see is for you to succeed. It makes him happy that you succeed. He is your biggest cheerleader. Now I was thinking about this. You know, I was praying about this, and I thought about my dad when I was growing up. And in high school, I played basketball, right? I thought I was going to be the next, you know, Michael Jordan. Thought I was going to be the next Kobe. I wasn't even close, but, you know, I thought. And it was big. You know, it was big. Basketball was big to me, man. It was big. And it was big for my dad. You know, he was like, man, you know, get out there and do your thing. And he was my biggest cheerleader. But how many of y'all know that sometimes your parents mean well? You know what I mean? They want to be your biggest cheerleader, but they become the biggest annoyances ever. Has anybody ever had that before? So I got to thinking, I was laughing to myself, man, look, I'm playing ball on the court. You know, it's a game, a Friday night game. And my dad didn't miss a game. Always there. Get him a nice seat. But he was my biggest cheerleader, but he was kind of messing up my swag. You know what I mean? He was messing me up, though. You know, I'm trying to do my thing, but he was screwing me up. Because, you know, say we take the ball out on the sideline, and you guys are the stadium, you guys are the bleachers. So I'm right here getting ready to take the ball out, and all of a sudden I hear him say, hey, my name was Skeech. That's my nickname from back home, Skeech. Y'all never knew that? Yeah, I should have said that. Yeah. Well, if you go back to Chicago with me, to my family, you probably won't hear Greg. You'll hear Skeech, for real. Skeech, what's up, Skeech? My dad made it up. I don't know. Just leave me alone. Anyway, so he'd be in the bleachers, right? Biggest cheerleader. And he'd be like, Skeech, man, take that boy to the hole. He can't even handle you. Look, you better take that ball to the hole. That boy can't even hold you. He can't guard you with nothing. And I'm sitting there like, dude, listen, the dude's mama is sitting next to you, man. Like, you know, don't do that. But he was so passionate about me being successful on the court, he didn't care. He screamed it out. Hey, Skeech, look, he is weak. Look how little he is. He ain't lifting no weights. I'm serious. He just would blurt this stuff out. Hey. And he would talk back to the refs, man. He'd tell the refs, hey, you left those glasses at home, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can tell. I wish you would do something about that. And I'm just embarrassed, man. He's the loudest dude in the stands, and it's just driving me nuts. But he was my biggest cheerleader, man. And he would shout out for me because he believed in me. And that's what God's doing in you guys, man. He's shouting out. Let me tell you how he's shouting out to you in his word. He's screaming at you. But see, we don't ever hear God cheerleading for us because we've been taught that we serve this judgmental God of damnation. Did you do what? I will strike you down. Am I right? That's what we've learned about God. That's what we've learned about God. How many of you guys ever said somebody told a lie next to you? You were like, let me go over here because... Sucker, you're going to get struck down. Or how many of you guys ever said this? Hey, I'm not lying. I swear, God, strike me down right now if I'm lying. Because we've always viewed God, and for some reason our culture has taught us that God is always looking for a chance to wipe you out. Has anybody else been taught that? We've been molded into a culture that believes that every time, as long as God can get a chance, he's going to cut your legs off, or he's going to, like, you know, burn your house down just to prove a point to you. But you know what? Searching the scriptures, praying, and being in God's presence, I learned that God's so far from that, man. God is, to the New Testament, New Covenant Christian, he is all about you, applauding you. But you'll never hear him say anything to you if you're not in his word. Uh-oh. right? Got to get in his word. He's screaming. Boom. He's saying, hey, 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 do it. You got it. You got purpose. You can make it. You don't have to stay where you are. You got greatness in you. He's screaming it out, but none of us know it because we're not opening up the book to find out what he's saying about us. He's screaming, man. And let me tell you something. One of the greatest feelings you will ever have is when you take time to open up the word of God and watch him scream at you. Best feeling in the world. Best feeling in the world. Because your daddy, whether you had one in real life or not, your father is just trying to tell you, hey, you got it all. I love you. I got your back. I'm your biggest cheerleader. I'm not trying to wipe you out. I'm trying to better your life. I'm trying to show you my love. Come on. Y'all with me on that? That's what God's trying to do. It's funny how I thought about my dad again because I also played in the band. Anybody was in the band? So I played in the band. I was in the jazz band, you know? And I played the drums in the jazz band. Right? So I always had this eye contact with my pops, you know, like, you know, he'll let me know if, you know, something's kind of off. You know, he'll let me know if somebody's like, you know, like, dude, he is, you know, turn him off. You know what I mean? Just kind of our little thing. And so I'm playing drums in the band, and he was my biggest cheerleader again. He would look at me, he'd go, come on, man, come on. Come on. So I get down there like, what? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? And I start jamming. Why? Because I had his approval. Because he told me, hey, I believe in you, bro. I believe in you, son, so much. Go ahead and do your thing. And that's what God's saying to you tonight. Do your thing, because I got your back. I'm not trying to cut you off. I'm trying to make you better. You all believing in that? Let's turn to, if you got a book. I didn't give you any scriptures, did I? That's all good. That's all good. We're going to, if you got your Bible, we're going to turn to Genesis 39. Genesis 39 chapter. I encourage you guys on Friday nights, bring your Bible if you can. We got some extra ones here. We can pass out if we have them. I don't know. But bring some notebook and paper. Man, I want you to write down this stuff because I really believe the true growth doesn't come necessarily from the delivery of the message. But I believe that when you go home and really recap what God spoke to you, that's when I think you really start getting some good stuff. All right. Genesis 39. We're going to talk about a cat named Joseph. Everybody say Joseph. So I'm gonna read you a story here real quick. And I'm going to read about six verses of Genesis 39, starting at the first verse. And we're going to talk about it for a minute. Is that cool? Good. All right. The Bible says this. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. All right. He just got bought. He was a slave. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant. And he made him overseer over his house and all that he owned he put in his charge. It came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus, the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned. In the house and in the field. My last verse, verse 6. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him there he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Let's pray for a minute, guys. Father, we just thank you tonight. We just give you praise. You're so good, God. We're just asking as we just get into your word tonight that you would really, really pour into our hearts, Lord. We want to be life changed tonight. Not just another experience, but we want to grow in your word. We love you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, everybody say Joseph. Joseph. I wanted to name this this message, I Am Joseph, because I really feel like our lives are synonymous with Joseph's life. I mean, synonymous. Now, yeah, it was in the Old Testament. We're in the New Covenant and all the kind of theological stuff, but I just think God was so good, and he showed his goodness so greatly in Joseph's life that even more so, we can take what God did for Joseph and apply it to our own personal lives. I am Joseph. Let me tell you about this guy, Joseph, real quick. I'm going to take like 60 seconds. No, probably 190. No. Yeah, I'm going to take a few minutes, and I'm going to recap. All right, just stay with me. I'm going to recap what happened right before these verses happened, okay? What happened was you got a guy named Joseph, all right? He was born you know. He had some brothers with him. He was the favored of his father. His father favored him the most because his father had him in an old age. So because his dad had him at an old age, you know, it's like, God, thank you for the miracle. Hey, that's my boy. I just can't believe it happened. He favored him. How many of you guys ever seen that play, Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat? You ever heard of it? Cool. No, well, it's all good. It don't matter. I'm going to tell you about it. So Joseph was his son. He was favored among all his other brothers. His dad even gave him that nice, you know, colored dream coat, like the Broadway play. And he just hooked him up. You know, that was his boy. Well, what happened was Joseph was getting a little older. Joseph was about early teens or so, like that. And he got a little older, and he started having these dreams. And the dreams were that he was like the king over everybody, and everybody was bowing down to him, right? So this guy decides to tell all his brothers, hey, I just had a dream that all you guys were bowing down to me. Now, how would you guys like one of your friends or your brother to tell you something like that? Hey, I just had this dream, man. Hey, all you guys were bowing down and worshiping me. Cool? Good. We'll get you later, right? And you know, then he came back and had another dream and even told his dad. He told his brothers and his dad, hey, I had another dream, and long story short, everybody was just kind of bowing down to me and serving me like I'm the man. Now, his brothers got ticked off, and his dad was a little shaky too. But his dad thought, like, okay, let me listen to this guy for a minute, right? So what happens? His brothers get mad. They say, look, we got to take this joker out. We don't like, he's favored one. He's having these crazy dreams. We're going to take him out. So they decided to kill him. How do you guys like the Old Testament Bible? They said, hey, let's get this guy. Let's hook him up because, you know, we're done with it. So what they did, long story short, they took Joseph. They ripped his coat off of him. They threw him in a pit. He was left there. Boom. He was left there to die. They dipped his coat in fake blood from an animal. They brought it back to dad and said, dad, you know what? He must have got attacked by a wolf or something like that, because that joke is gone. We found his coat. We don't know where he is. So, hey, grieve all you want. I don't know. So they got to thinking, like, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't kill him. Maybe we shouldn't kill him. They went to the pit that they threw him in, and they decided, let's not kill him. Let's sell him. I don't know which one I'd want. Kill me or sell me as a slave, right? So they saw a caravan coming. They lifted him out the pit, and they said, hey, we're going to sell him to you. And they sold him to an Ishmaelite. And then the Ishmaelite sold him to Potiphar, who was the chief bodyguard in Egypt. Now we're at verse 39. Was that a good recap? I want to encourage you guys, man, just like Joseph, man, I just know that a lot of you guys may have experienced backstabbing. Or you may even feel like you're in a pit right now. Maybe your brothers or people that you've been with have thrown you to the curb. Maybe just life has just dealt you a bad hand. And now you're like, you're in this pit and it's dark and you don't know what to do, but you just feel like you're going to die. But I'm here to encourage you that God is a deliverer. That you are not too far from God where he can come and bring you out of the craziest pit of your life. No matter how dark your life is right now, no matter how bogus your situations are right now, God, just like we sang earlier, what did we say? Our God is what? He's greater. Our God is greater. So I want to talk to you right now about the favor and the grace of God that's on your life now, so that you can walk out of these doors tonight and know who you are. You don't have to take anything less than what the Bible says about you. All right, let's go back to verse 1. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites, remember, who had taken him down there. And the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. Now, we measure success off of material things, right? We measure success by the craziest, dumbest things in the world. I mean, you watch all the award shows. You watch guys who've got a lot of money but no brain. Come on. And you're like, man, that's successful. And that's outward success according to the world. And it's a lot of money. It's a lot of notoriety. But most of these guys are dying on the inside anyway. So success only comes Watch this. Your success comes from the fact that you know that God is with you, that he's with you. He's with you. Now, you can say, oh, man, that's kind of like Sunday school stuff. No, no, no. That's something that we don't understand, that God is with you. Wherever you are right now, God is with you. The Bible says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always, even until the end of the earth. God is with you. And Joseph understood that, and that's why he became successful. Why would they write that? He gets out of a pit, gets sold into slavery. The next couple verses later, it says, and Joseph and God was with him, and he became a successful man. Because God is stronger than the pit, and God's stronger than the circumstance, and God is stronger, and he's greater than the darkness. So God is with you. So you guys ever see like TMZ or something like that, and you know the guy's walking down the street, and they got bodyguards around him, right? Right? And they cannot be touched because they're covered. Bodyguards all around them. And you know what's cool about bodyguards, guys? And cool about bodyguards, they don't just give you outside protection, right? But bodyguards give you internal peace. Because you know that nobody's going to get to me as long as this joker's on my back. Am I right? So if, where's T at? T, come up here real quick, man. Y'all give it up for T. Come up here real quick, T. Come on, give it up for T. Come on, T. That's my man right there, you know? So let me show you guys something. I need a little guy. Where's Bobby? So come up here with me. You're not a little guy, but just come up here with me, bro. You know, so T, I want you to just, I'm just going to mind my business. He's going to start approaching me. I want you to just take care of him for me, all right? Be easy on him, right? So I'm just doing my thing. I'm along my daily routine. You know what I'm saying? He's coming at me. Come on at me. You know, come on at me. Try to do your thing. But you, I don't even know he's there. I'm filing my fingernails. I'm hanging out. Go ahead and run towards me. I'm like, man, I don't even. So something happened to you? Everything good?
Yes.
Somebody ran up on me or something? I ain't even know. Really? I can walk past this guy, you know, straight, you know, deflect this way, and T's just going to take care of him. Now, all right. Good. Thank you, guys. I don't just have outward protection. I have an inward security, and I know without a shadow of a doubt, I can do whatever I want because I am protected. He's going to take care of me. I had this guy, man, I'm going to stop talking about basketball, but I had this guy on my basketball team. You know, it was about four of us. We were best friends. We were starters on the team. We ate together. We hung out. We did everything together. We were on the basketball team. And we were best buds. We had a camaraderie where it was, you know, if somebody messed with me, they messing with you. Anybody ever had that kind of friendship? You mess with me, you mess with him. And I had this one guy named Big Will. Say Big Will. Yo, he was Big Will. He was Big Will. Big Will. And he was one of my closest friends for a reason. Because, see, some of y'all not smart. Y'all not picking the right friends. Some of y'all got a lot of mouth, but you don't have the right friends. And I had Big Will for a reason. I was all good. Big Will was on the team. He was our starting center on the team. And, you know, everywhere we went, man, you know, Big Will, we were together all the time, man. I mean, I was a little guy. Believe it or not, I was skinny. You know what I mean? I was real skinny. And I was a point guard on the team, and man, you know what I would do, man? I would run my mouth so much. Big Will gave me a reason to just run my mouth. I mean, I'm just like, I'm on the basketball court like, dude, you are whack. Really, you think you're going to win this game? You see Big Will? Did you see Big Will? Nah, you ain't see Big Will. You know what, man? I'm going to rip your head off in this game. I'm going to tear you up, bro. Really? You really tried to go to the hole on Big Will? How's it feel, bro? Yeah, Big Will, right? I had such a confidence in Big Will on the court. And check this out. Off the court, I was even worse. Y'all probably don't believe it. Y'all think I've been a little preacher all my life. But off the court, I'd be like, you know, I get off, you know, after the game, walking to the bus. I'd be like, hey, man, good game, man. But next time y'all going to play? Next time you guys are going to give us some competition, because, you know, we just talking junk. Because I knew if he tried to pick a fight with me, I'd just call him Big Will. We got an agreement, you know? I could run my mouth all I want, right? And the only problem with having Big Will on your team is that Big Will is human. So there was a little period of time where Big Will got injured. And I was in a little bit of trouble. Because anytime you talk junk to people and you have to reface them the next time in the season, yeah, you got to really reconsider some things. So Big Will's off the team. So I'm on the court shutting my mouth. I'm cool. I'm chilling. You know, and the guys are like, yeah, what's up with Will? He not playing tonight? And I'm like, he ain't playing tonight. Oh, really? Yeah, what y'all going to do tonight? You know, he's talking junk to me, and I'm just sitting there like, dude, I just want to play ball for Jesus. You know, I just want to, you know. I got like all crazy. Like, you know what, dude? Honestly, bro, it's just a sport, man. You know, I don't understand why y'all can't be good sports. I don't understand why we always got to. It's just basketball. We high schoolers. Ain't nobody getting paid. So I'm getting all moral now because Big Will wasn't there. And then I'm really in trouble because when the game's over, I mean, it's just like, hey, G, what's good with Big Will? His leg broke. And I'm serious, man. I'm being honest with y'all. You know, what he going to do now? You know, so I'm just walking to the bus like real quick, like, you know, real quick, like, man, Will, what's going on? Because I had a confidence in Big Will. I didn't think twice when Big Will was around me, but when he was gone, I had an insecurity. And I was thinking about that as I was studying. Thank God our God is not like Big Will because he never sits on the sideline. Come on. God never gets put out the game. God never gets injured. He never gets knocked out. He's always there. The Bible says, I will always be there with you at all times. That's my covenant with you. I live in you, so you can't go anywhere that I'm not. Are y'all hearing me tonight? The same God who created the earth, the same God who breathed breath into a man and made a human, the same God who ripped the rib out of Adam and made a woman, the same God who caused the trees to grow, the same God that turns this world on its axis, the same God that created all the beasts of the field and the animals that are in the air, the same God that you've seen do miracles, open blinded eyes, that you've seen do marvelous things, that same God is living in me right now. See, y'all ain't talking to me. Listen, that same God lives in you. Paul said, do you not know that the Spirit of God lives in you and that you're a temple of God? Now, we always want to use that to try to get people to stop sinning, but I just want to just celebrate it. Like, what? God lives in me? Let's roll. I can have the same confidence I had with Big Will. You know, life comes at you. I'm like, yeah, you better watch out, doc. I got something living on the inside of me. And a lot of cats walk around defeated lives. You walk around life like nothing ever works, like your life is broken in two, blah, 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 because you have no idea that the supreme creator of the universe resides. The Bible says abides in you, which means takes residence. He packs up his bags, puts his deodorant in his little case, hooks it up, puts it on his back, and he moves in to where you are. God is living in you right now. Any born again believer in this house tonight, you have the presence of God. Now, just like what it did with Big Will with me, it should instill some confidence in you, because you can't be successful without confidence, right? Show me any successful businessman, that joker is confident. Crunch numbers, I can make moves, I can do it any. I'm confident. That's why you may have a gift or an ability or a talent. I'm a keyboard player. You know, I can't play the guitar like Brian. He just kills it. Boom. He's all smooth with it, you know what I'm saying? Shaking that little leg. You know, I can't, you know, if I picked up his guitar right now, I'd just be real nervous, like, dude, what's A again? Like three fingers, two on the three. Hit it back to the one. Yeah, I don't know. I have no confidence. I have no confidence in it. So I can't be successful leading worship with a guitar because there's no confidence in it. But you give me a keyboard, I'm like, what? Black and white? Set it up. Plug it up. What y'all want, Stevie Wonder? Y'all want some Chris Tomlin? I mean, we can go all genres. We can just We can do it all. You know what I mean? Because I'm confident that that makes me successful in what I'm doing. So in your life, guys, you have to be confident to be successful. And a lot of you guys are trying to be successful on your own with no confidence. Because whenever you put confidence in yourself, you're always doomed to fail. Because in you, there is no success. But Christ in you, there's all success. Are y'all with me tonight? So when you know that God lives on the inside of you, when you know that God is with you at all times, when you go to sleep, when you wake up, when you're having nightmares in the middle of the night, when life comes at you like crazy, when you get the final notice on the cell phone bill, when you got all it, when stuff just goes crazy in your life, you have to know, wait, God's with me, bro. Like, hold on, let me calm down. Some of y'all going crazy over life circumstances because you always forget that God, creator of the universe, lives right here. That's like if my illustration earlier, that's like if T was standing there and the guy was coming after me and T was holding him and I'm like, don't let, I'm going crazy. Don't let him get me, T. Don't let him get me. Don't let him. And T, he's like, dude, you are weirdo, bro. You're weird. I think God looks at us sometimes like, because you know what? We discredit him. If I were God and I made everything and I actually made you, I'd be like, dude, you know what? You out of control. Shut up. I got you. And all God's trying to do is prove to you that he's your cheerleader and that he'll never leave you and that he's never left you. And when you're in your darkest place of life, he's right there. That's what makes you successful. Shout, I'm successful. Just like Joseph in that second verse, it said that the Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3 says this. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper. Listen, this favor and this grace that I'm talking about that's on your life, that I'm speaking about, when you really have a genuine relationship with God and you understand that he's with you and you understand that he lives in you and you understand that he loves you unconditionally, people have no choice but to see it. They have no choice but to see it. Everywhere you go, people should know that God is with him. It happened in the book of Acts. You know, Peter and those guys were preaching and the guys in the temple said, well, these untrained men, they're not educated. They don't have all the smarts. But one thing I do know is that God is with these fellas. I just want to encourage you guys that may be on a job that you feel like you're not adequate to perform. If God puts you at that job and you feel inadequate to perform, you probably are, but God in you, you can do all things. And they may look at you and say, how did he figure that out? How did he do that? How did, man, and people see the favor of God on your life because of your submission to God Almighty. I've done some stuff I'll never even like. I mean, it's like, what? How did I even? I don't even know. Have you ever done something where you like, I don't know. It's, I don't know how I made it happen. I really didn't. And that's the testimony we have to people around you at your job, at school, to say, you know what? I see what's going on with you, man. You're different. I really challenge you, if you don't stick out at your job, if you don't stick out at school, if you don't stick out amongst your peers, I really challenge you, like, are you really giving off? Are you really confident in the glory of God and the favor that's on your life? Or are you buying into the lie of defeat that the devil wants to tell you that you're nobody? I love proving people wrong, kind of guy I am. You tell me, okay, Greg, I bet you couldn't take that speaker apart, you know, throw everything all over the church and put it back together within the next 3 days. If you told me that, I go, something flips in my mind and I'm just like, okay, forget that. I turn into an engineer putting stuff together. I'll get online. I'll Google speakers. I'll Google the model number. I'll take this joker somewhere. I'll figure it out. I will figure it out. I'll figure it out. Because in my life, as I've grown in God, I've always been placed in a situation where I had to figure out something impossible. And whenever you're in an impossible situation, you have nobody to turn to. You don't have your own genius to turn to. You don't even have your own smarts to turn to because you have no idea what's inside this speaker. Something could possibly blow me up. I have no idea. But if I turn my direction and say, you know what? God, you've called me to do the impossible. Y'all here tonight? You've called me to do something that I would never have signed up to do. You've called me to be in a job that I've never thought I'd be at. You've called me to be in a school and do some school work that I never thought I'd go for a master's or a doctorate. You may be saying this now, but you don't look to yourself. You look to the one that's inside of you and say, okay, if you've called me to do it, tear it up. I'll figure it out. Come on. I'll figure it out. God wants other people to see you succeed. God wants other people to see you succeed and give him all the glory. I told this story in 12:11 a few times. I want to tell you. I'm gonna tell you guys again because, you know, who cares, right? But I had back in the day. This is I think around when I first got married, or maybe a year before I first got married to my fine girl. You so fine. All right, I had a moment, and. So I had this 1989 Honda Accord. Come on, bro. You like them Hondas. Now, don't get mad at me if you got one. Like, I'm just telling y'all a story, right? It's all good. Had four wheels on it. 1989 rusted out Honda Accord. It had 233,000 miles on it. And a year before I got it, the odometer broke, so it wasn't even calculating the miles. So it probably had close to 283,000 miles on it. And, you know, the back right tire had a little gangster lean to it. Like, boom! Had a little gangster lean. But, you know, hey, you're young, right? Yo, we all young adults. You're young, in college, maybe fresh out of college. And you're like, look, I don't fix nothing that don't stop the car. If the car's still moving, we rolling with it. Gangsta lean or not, boom, we just, you know, people talk about you, they laugh at you. Yeah, I stopped at the light and people would be like, hey. You'd be like, what? What, really? Something wrong with my tire? Okay, I'll check it out, thanks. But I knew for like a year I had a gangsta lean. So finally, after a while, that gangsta lean, you know, just boom, the whole tire just fell like inward. I'm like, man, okay, well, I got to come out the money to get it fixed. So I paid a little money to get it fixed. Cool. Straight as an arrow, all right? The left tire, boom. About a week later, gangsta lean. I'm like, damn. Okay. If fellas, if you know what I'm talking about, it was my ball joints. So gangsta lean. So I'm like, you know, young college student, maybe just out of college. I'm just like, man, if the car's still rolling, I'm still going with it. You're going to have to take me out because I'm not paying $230 again to fix this car. I'll roll with the gangster lean. Maybe 2 weeks later, boom. Okay. Yeah, I got to fix that. Okay, so I got that fixed. Swear to you. Two, three weeks later, front right tire, gangster lean. I'm just like, you know, I know what's good. I was so good. My car was so busted. That I knew about the time frame that it was going to go out. I could tell, like, you know, we had about 18 hours on that gangster lean. Yeah, probably about another 3 hours. Yeah, I'm done. Matter of fact, when I got married, I kept the car, and my wife, I think she did something to it for it not to work. I mean, the side light was hanging off of it. I didn't do that. It was just stuff just going wrong. She hated the car, so I think she did stuff to really try to make me get rid of it. But she's a hater on my Honda Accord. But anyway, so about a couple weeks later, you know, gangsta lean, boom. What happened was on a lunch break at work, I went to the bank to put my check in the bank, right? Thank God for a check. And I backed out the parking lot, and boom, there it went. When that sucker was backing up, I'm like, God, listen, in your name, if there's anything you can do right now, don't let this ball joint. Because I heard it going, I'm like, God, come on, I got to get back to work. I worked at a car shop, consequently, you know, funny enough. So I'm like, if I can get it back to work, I can save me some money. I don't have to pay that tow man. That's like $60, you know. So I heard, I'm like, God, if you are God of heaven, if you love me, if you live on the inside of me, if there's anything that you can do, don't embarrass me right now with this car busting down because it's going to be bad. Well, boom, right in the middle of the parking lot where everybody was trying to come in and deposit their checks. I stopped the whole bank flow, I swear. The whole deal. Would you be mad? The whole deal. Cars couldn't come in. I called my boss, said, hey, man, I'm real bogus out here, man. First of all, I need to get this car towed, and I need you to come pick me up and bring me back to work. You know, he did it. He came and got me. And at that time, I was so fired up for God. Have you experienced this before? And I pray that we always get these experiences. I was so fired up for God, anything can happen, but I would find some way to praise God. You know what I'm saying? Boom, I got shot. Oh, God. I'm good. Sting a little bit, but I'm going to give you praise. I was just so fired up for God, and I was like, God, you live in me. So honestly, I went to praising God. I'm like, you know what? Thank you, Lord, because I could have been on the expressway. Thank you, Lord, I could have been in the middle of traffic. Thank you, Lord, that it wasn't on a major street. Thank you, Lord, that I'm safe. She wouldn't drive it anyway, but thank you, my wife wouldn't drive in it where she can get into some trouble. I just thank you, God. I was so excited about, it was weird, but I was excited about trials. Because when God shows himself strong in your trials, you don't care about the next trial because you always look forward to the deliverance. And the deliverance is a good feeling. So my boss comes to pick me up, and he is mad. I'm like, Joker, your car work. What you mad for? He mad. He's like, oh, man. He's like, Greg, how come you're not mad? I'd be ticked off. Be ticked off. I mean, I was embarrassed. But he was like, why aren't you, you know, I don't understand you. I don't, you know how you just, you act right around people, but they're mad that you don't act wrong? What is up with that? They get mad at you because you don't act wrong like them. He's like, you know, I don't get it. What's up with you? So we sat on the curb. He's like, I don't get it, man. You know, your car broke down over here. You're always smiling. You're always doing this. You're always doing that. I don't want. I'm like, dude, get off my back, first of all. But it was an opportunity. Because God orchestrates opportunities in your life, young people. God orchestrates divine connections in your life where you can share your testimony and you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. All your witnessing does not have to be just walking out the door, hitting the street. Because God, he orchestrates divine encounters for you to share a specific word of encouragement to somebody who has no idea how to have joy. So he's mad, and I'm just calming him down. All right, bro, it's going to be okay, man, you know. It's my whip, you know. You don't understand what's your problem, you know. But I got a chance to share with him the love of Jesus. I said, dude, let me tell you, let me just be perfectly honest with you. Y'all ain't been listening to me, but I've experienced a joy that I can't even explain. And I've experienced the peace of God where the worst thing could happen to me, but there is a peace, like the Bible says, that surpasses all understanding that's in my heart. So all I have, only choice I have is to find the good out of the bad. I find the good out of the negative. So my car broke down in the parking lot. I'm embarrassed, but I thank God that I'm safe and I'm blessed. And from that day on, our relationship completely changed. He was open to the gospel. He was open to hearing me share with him about Jesus Christ. Now, he didn't get saved while I was there, but, you know, I planted the seed, right? Somebody's going to water it. My point in saying that is that, like Joseph, God was with him, and he knew it. He was confident in the fact that God was with him, and he was successful. Because he was successful, other people saw it. I pray to God, everybody in this room, whatever your dreams, desires, and goals are, I pray that you blow it up. I pray that you rock the roof off. I don't care what you want to be. Graphic artist, singer, sewing person, business person. I don't care what it is. Whatever it is, I pray that you blow the roof off. Because any person that's successful, they draw attention. Am I right? A successful businessman will walk in this back door right now with a three-piece suit, pinstripe, got a little bling on his wrist, looking good, wearing some of that good old Aqua de Jo or whatever that stuff is. You know, wearing some good, you know, he walks past you ladies, you're going to be like, that Joker is successful. He got some money. Have y'all ever said that? Now y'all want to act all Christian and spiritual. Y'all know you determine whether the boy got some money or not before you, you know. He got some money, girl. You better go talk to him. Am I right? Fellas don't really do that, you know. She got some money. We get threatened, like, you know, let me wait till I make a little bit more before. Let me make a little bit more before I start trying to holler at her, you know. Fellas need to be needed. You know what I mean? We don't need you to drive up in your car. We, you know, wait till I get a car first. You know? But success draws attention. So because you're confident in God in you, because you know who you are in Jesus Christ, because you are successful because of God, you draw attention. And you draw attention by the presence of God, which opens opportunity for you to witness and give your testimony and tell how good God is. And then when you know that you've done, when you know you're operating in something that you're incapable of doing, you have no choice but to point up and say, you know what? It's all God in my life. It's all God in my life. Y'all hear me? I'm almost done here. We got to get out of here. Verse 4 says, so Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant, and his master made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned, he put in his charge. The next thing that the favor and the grace of God does for you is it promotes you. The Bible says in Psalm 75, 6, that God brings promotion. Listen, I think every Christian in this place, I think every young adult should walk into your job within your mind without a shadow of a doubt that I'm going to get promoted. Why? Because I'm confident in the God that I serve, and his favor is on me and his grace is on me. So I am going to get promoted. Not just in your job, but in life. I know God's going to open up supernatural doors for me because I have his favor now. And I will see what God's doing in my life when I change my thinking. See, some of you guys are thinking so negatively, you're always looking for the wrong to happen that you never see the right when it smacks you in your face. How many have missed an opportunity where you look back and say, man, if, doggone it, if I would have did that, my phone wouldn't be cut off. I'd be in good shape. I'd have some money in my pocket. Because you know what? We're always looking for the negative. And our mindset is going the wrong way, just like mind hoarders last week. So we're looking for the negative. The good smacks us in our face. Promotion smacks us in our face. Purpose smacks us in our face. God opens up a door, and we're so bitter and negative that we say, I'm not good enough to do it anyway. And we miss the whole opportunity, and we just blow it. Because our thinking is wrong. God gives promotion. God gives promotion. And the thing that happens to you with the favor of God, you ought to expect promotion. Expect it. When I learned that principle, every job, I worked at Walmart, I worked at the car shop, I made hot dogs at this stadium, believe it or not. I was good, too. Six dogs? Cool, I got you. I made pizzas in a little oven. Put a little pizza through, cut it up. I can cut up faster than all y'all. I can cut a pizza. I look at these guys at Papa John's, I'm like, boo. Oh, that's cute. You don't know what it is to have a basketball game going on and people like, halftime, I need a pizza. Boom. Even, you know, I've done all that. But every place that I've gone, whether it was a minuscule job, a small job, or maybe a pretty substantial job, I walked in there thinking, you know what? I'm going to have your job pretty soon. Hey, boss, good to meet you, man. I'm going to learn everything about you because I'm gonna have your job. Man, it's confidence, am I right? Because you know, when you go into a place, I walk in a place with God. Hey, the presence of God just showed up. Hello. I don't know how to do any of this, but God's going to empower me. And you're going to have no choice, just like Joseph, who was a slave, who was bought. He was a slave, and he became the ruler over everything in the house. A slave. How much more you being redeemed by Jesus Christ's blood, how much more you having the presence of God on the inside of you. God was just with Joseph. We have God in us. It's a new day. Two different worlds. How much more can you walk into places and say, you know what? There's no limits to what God can do in my life. I expect promotion. Some of you guys need to start expecting good things to happen to you. I told 12:11 in the Bible study, my wife is better than me at this, but I expect when I go to the cash register, I'm going to get some favor. Like, I got God, bro. Take care of me. Rings up, 10 bucks less. Oh, really? Well, praise God. It's the favor of God. Little things. God is cheerleading you on so much. Small things, big things, medium looking things, whatever it is, he wants to show you his glory. So don't be surprised when God is showing you small little things that just make you happy because he wants to show you that he's promoting you. He's promoting you. Just like Joseph was promoted. And the same people that bought him, he ended up ruling over all this stuff. Ain't that crazy? Right? Real quick, the last thing. It came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. Last point I want to bring to you guys real quick is that because the favor of God is on your life and the grace of God is in your life, you bless everyone around you. Everyone around you. You know, as believers in Jesus Christ tonight, you can walk into a chaotic situation and the peace of God will just boom. Have you ever been around a person that was just so like a teddy bear? You just need a good cry. You know what I mean? Even fellas, stop trying to act hard on me, you know? Even fellas, you just need, I just need to get something off my chest. You go to that person with that peace. You just like, my God, man, you know, she hates me, bro. Bro, I keep texting her. She won't text me back. Brothers act like that. I'm going to let you ladies know. I'm going to, you know, pull out the bag. Man, she didn't hit me back. I don't know what's going on. You know, you find that person that has that peace. They, you carry, the Bible says that I will give you the peace that surpasses all understanding, which means there's a peace that you can't even comprehend. There's a peace that God has given you that you can't even explain. If you try to break it down, you couldn't. You just know that, man, I feel good. I feel peaceful about this. This is good. But with that, God blesses everyone around you. Everybody around you. Why? Because you carry the presence of God. Now, you may call me crazy, but I believe that there is success in companies. Some of you guys are working for companies, in school, working on projects, things like that. I believe because God is in your life and because you are have a relationship with him, I believe those people are seeing success because the Spirit of God is there. I believe that. I believe when we put our hands on something as men and women of God, that success comes to everybody around us. Why? Because God is with me. A slave went into his master's house, became ruler over everything, and the whole country, everything succeeded because God was with him. With him. With him. God was with him. And they saw it and they experienced it. Who's experiencing God's glory in your life, at your job, at school? God's with you, family, tonight. I want to encourage you guys. I'm going to pray for you right now. I hope you got something out of that. God, we just worship you tonight. We thank you so much. Man, we're bigger than we think we are, not because of us, but because of you in us. And we just thank you, Lord, that we just broke it down tonight to see that your presence and your glory is the reason why we see success. We stand confident tonight because of your word that we walk in successful living in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And we just give you all the praise and glory for it. As your heads are bowed tonight, I mean, all those perks were amazing and you guys loved them. We laughed about them. We joked about them. We were encouraged about them tonight. But I'm going to tell you something, man. To be straight up honest with you guys, those of you all who don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you don't have those benefits. You don't have them. You don't have the benefits of God on the inside of you yet. You don't have the benefits of that favor yet because you need Jesus Christ in your life. The prerequisite for all those blessings was the fact that God is in you and that he lives on the inside of you. Tonight, I want to pray for everybody, every person who has never accepted Jesus Christ in your life. Tonight is your night. You will immediately begin to see God flow in your situation. He will immediately change your circumstances. He will immediately give you that favor and grace that we've been talking about and singing about all night. If you don't know Jesus Christ tonight, I want you to throw your hand in the air. I'm praying for you tonight. Throw your hand in the air if you don't know. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, if you've never made him Lord over your life, I want to see your hand, and I'm going to pray for you tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 We just thank you, Jesus, that we're redeemed, washed with your blood. The love of God is overshadowing us. God lives on the inside of us. We just worship you tonight. Go ahead and stand to your feet, crew. Let's just for a moment just lift our hands real quick and just lift our hands and thank the Lord. All this favor, all this grace, all this blessing, all this abundance, everything we talked about tonight, we have it now. Now. I am a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Come on, reach out to the Lord. Say, Lord, help me to realize, hallelujah, that I'm brand new. I have your favor. I have your anointing. I have your increase. I have your grace. I'm flooded with your blessing tonight, God. I have everything I need. Hallelujah. Come on, reach out to him tonight. I have everything I need. 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 Hallelujah. I have everything I need. God is with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you tonight, God. We worship you tonight, God. You're so awesome, Lord. We just appreciate you. Come on, make a commitment. Say tonight, make a commitment. Say, God, I'm going to be in your word. I got to hear you screaming at me. I got to hear you screaming at me. Come on, he's cheering you on. He's cheering you on tonight. God, I want to hear you cheering me on. I'm going to open up your word. I'm going to hear you, God. I'm going to hear you speak to me. I'm going to hear you tell me how awesome I am because of your son, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we worship you tonight. We worship you tonight, God. We worship you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, if any of you guys want special prayer tonight, I'm going to stay at the altar for a few minutes. I want you to come up to the altar. My wife and I are going to pray for you. We're going to believe God for the greatest in your life tonight. And the rest of you guys, I want you to have a fantastic night. Listen, please join us again next week. We'll be back here next Friday. We love you all. We appreciate you. Come up for prayer. Everybody else go eat. Can we just give God a big praise? One good time. Woo! Yeah! Come on, hit some music. Love you guys. Give somebody some love and let's eat up, all right?
now. I'm ready to go right now. I'm checking your smile, working your back like it's going out of style. Shake just a little bit faster, shake just a little now, girl. I'm dying to meet you, so let's mess around. Got an obsession with us getting down. Come just a little bit closer, I just need permission, so
give me the green light, give me just one.
Technically, no. If you be my girlfriend, then I'll make it so. You'll be my only true lover. No competition, no other. Maybe it's just the thrill of the chase, but I've got a feeling I'm winning this race. Baby, I'm getting much closer. I just need permission, so
give me just one. Staring at me, I told her, let's go, let's blow this lame nigga factory. She said, what kind of girl do you think that I are? The kind that you meet in a bar. You think you can get whatever you want, cause you some kind of star. No, I'm a comment, I just want you, woman. Hey, if I were you, it would be me that I go home with. Three, the one and only, one thing you ain't considered. I heard you when you told your girl, ooh, we can get it. Admit it, you did it. Let's hop a cab and split it. I'm kidding, we both going to where you living. I got you giggling like a piglet. Oh, that's the ticket. I hope you're more like Anita Baker than Robert Gibbons. No, I don't know that lady, so let me quit it. I'm just style freeing, freestyling, which I seldom do. This is what I'm telling you, to the bed I'm telling you. Like I've been in jail for 2 years and then they let me in. You got you one legend. Sometimes you gotta step from behind that piano. Let them know what's going on.
I'm ready to go right.
Even Stevie Wonder got down sometimes.
We can go all night. Give me the green light.
I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go right now.
My mandate can't wait.
I'm ready to go right now.
Participate.
I'm in love with you. But this ain't the honeymoon, past the infatuation phase. Right in the thick of love, at times we get sick of love. It seems like we argue every day. I know I misbehaved and you've made your mistakes, and we both still got room left to grow. And though love sometimes hurts, I still put you first, and we'll make this thing work. But I think we should take it slow. We're just ordinary people. We don't know which way to go, 'cause we're ordinary people. Maybe we should take it slow. Take it slow. Oh, this time we'll take it slow. Take it slow. Oh, this time we'll take it slow. This ain't a movie, no. No fairy tale conclusion, y'all. It gets more confusing every day. Sometimes it's heaven sent, then we head back to hell again. We kiss, then we make up on the way. I hang up, you call. We rise and we fall, and we feel like just walking away. But as our love advances, we take second chances. Though it's not a fantasy, I still want you to stay. We're just ordinary people. We don't know which way to go, 'cause we're ordinary people. Maybe we should take it slow. Take it slow. Oh, this time we'll take it slow. Take it slow. This time we'll take it slow. Take it slow. Maybe we'll live and learn. Maybe we'll crash and burn. Maybe you'll stay. Maybe you'll leave. Maybe you'll return. Maybe another fight. Maybe we won't survive. But maybe we'll grow. We never know. Baby, you and I, we're just ordinary people. Way to go, yeah, hey, 'cause we're ordinary people. Maybe we should take it slow. Hey, we're just ordinary people. We don't know which way to go, 'cause we're ordinary people. Maybe we should take it slow. Take it slow. Oh, oh, oh. This time we'll take it slow. Take it slow. Oh, oh, oh. This time we'll take it slow. Take it slow. Slow. This time we'll take it slow. Take it slow. Oh, 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 oh. This time we'll take it slow. Been together for a while now. We're growing stronger every day now. It feels so good and there is no doubt I will stay with you. As each morning brings a sunrise and the flowers bloom in springtime on my loving you.
KillThat.com.
Thank you. come and say it's stupid.